Let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will move on all our hearts spiritually, open our ears and our spiritual eyes to see and hear you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, move across all of us this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a boy, we went often, because we lived in the city at that time, we would often on weekends go for a period of time, I guess, go up to see my aunt and uncle, my mother's aunt and uncle. And they lived in the country. And as it was a big thrill for me to do this because, you know, I lived in an apartment building and here we are going out to my aunt's place and she had this little kind of a two-room, I think, and a kitchen. We'll make it three rooms entirely. This little cottage that she lived in. And my uncle Archie, who was there, I guess I might have been, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years old. And it was the first time I kind of met him. And he came out and he was a very thin man and, of course, to me, very tall as well. And he waved at me. And when he waved like this is all I could see. Now, it wasn't because he was bending those fingers down. They were gone. And for a six-year-old, that was very odd to see a man missing three fingers down to that first knuckle. And I asked him, what happened? How did that occur? Well, he, instead of completely answering me, he took me to Woodbine Racetrack, which is where he worked. He was a trainer out there with the horses. And I remember walking around with Uncle Archie looking at these gigantic, to me, gigantic horses up there, you know. And they were all in their stalls, and they were, you know, neighing and kicking and all that what the horses do. He explained to me that thoroughbred horses are race horses, you know, the ones you see, they run around in a circle. And the reason they run so well is because they're bred to be kind of goofy, in a way, is the way he put it. They're just twitchy. They want to move. And every chance they get, they just bolt. And I'm thinking, how does that fit with the finger story? Well, he told me that one night, early morning rather, he went into the stall with his thoroughbred, and as we read in our psalm, do not be like the horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be cured with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. This horse didn't have a bit or a bridle in its mouth. It was sitting in its stall and decided he was angry at my Uncle Archie because he said thoroughbreds do that all the time. And as my uncle reached up to grab him on the nose, he lost three fingers in the process. This big old horse just, well, I said, well, that must have hurt. He said, it hurt a lot, he said. And I said, so what did you do? And he said, I let the horse know who was in charge. Now, you can all be creative in how you want to think how that happened. He told me in detail, and I'm not going to share that part of the story, but he said, they're big animals, and it takes a lot to get their attention. That same day I was there, I was feeding the horses sugar, and he wants to keep your fingers well back, and by a man missing three fingers, my finger's just like this, you know. So we put lumps of sugar, and they put their big lips, they grab the sugar cubes and eat them, and they seem quite neat. And he said that they're very smart, and I'm going to let one out of the stall, but we're going to make sure he can't see how I open the door. So he'd reached a bar that slid across, the door was here, and the lasp came down way over here. And he lifted it up and slid it across, but they were keeping the horse towards the back of the stall, opened it, and they'd take him out. And moments after that happened, I heard a large commotion, and all I saw was another horse running down the center of the road where the stalls all are, with his tail straight up in the air, bolting down the street. And all these men poured out of the places, jockeys and trainers, and were chasing him. And every time they would get within 20 feet, he would stop. When they got a little bit closer, oh, off the tail would go, and off he'd run. And he could see him looking back in the white of his eye, looking back at these people. And he was having fun. Well, apparently someone had opened his gate to his stall, and he saw how it happened. And he managed to get his neck all the way out and lift the latch with his lips and slide it over and kick the door open, and off he went. And they chased him for a half an hour, I think, because they just could not get him. He got away. And it made me think when we were reading this morning, made me think of my Uncle Archie And it always amazed me, you could make tomato soup out of tomatoes. It was just, you didn't open a can. But that's how my Uncle Archie was. That horse that ran away is kind of like this prodigal son story in so many ways. And there's lots of things that we need to do to remind us, as we've been talking through Lent, about who we are. Now, last week we had strings that we tied on our fingers. This week we have something that's very commonly used, more than almost the other things that I've already handed out. You've all got elastic bands. Now, another thing, you're going to put them on your wrists, what we're going to do. And remember, I called this a disruptive mnemonic. And another story, and many of you will have similar stories you can tell, of people who smoke and they want to give it up. And one of the techniques in giving up smoking is to put an elastic band on your wrist. Because every time you get the craving, you do this. Ow. Ow. Well, this week's challenge is not that we're going to quit smoking, it's to remind us to be praying. And every time we're kind of just fiddling with that elastic and you feel that little ouch on your wrist, oh yeah, I need to be praying today. I need to take some time for God today. And really take time for God today. And not just be caught up in the moment, like I guess the story of that horse means to me. That horse just caught up in the moment and bolts off and is just having a great old time, but he's very unsafe where he is. The story of the prodigal son is a story that can be told in the sense of that son being very unsafe, his father worrying about him. And we can use that as a reminder too. These rubber bands that people wear all the time that have things printed on them, I think where that notion of the rubber band comes from is this, just that little reminder, always that there's something I have to remember. If that son was missing, I'm sure that the father didn't need to put an elastic band on his wrist to remind him that his son was missing. He could just look outside and see that there was only one, not two boys out there, two men. I want our challenge to continue as we're working through Lent this next while. I want us to not just be bolting around willy-nilly, unbridled, so to speak, doing what we want. We want to remind ourselves, this is Lent. This is a time for us to reevaluate who we are before God and how much God has given in grace to each one of us. I was honored to be at a wedding last night and married a couple, and the Juris family is the family that were involved. And it was a great honor to be with them. And it was wonderful to see the party that took place, very much like the party with the prodigal son, and the joy that was there. And it's easy in those moments to forget where we are in our calendar, and particularly with Lent. We need to remember daily that God is calling us to a deeper relationship with himself. And this is to remind us to work on that deeper relationship. The elastic band is there to call us to consider Lent and call us to consider where we're going in Lent. You see, the crucified king, which is the theme that we've been working with all this time, it's important, without sounding redundant in that sense, it's important because what is coming is the crucified king. Not just Jesus, we know the whole story because we've read the Gospels, but this, he was crucified horribly, he died horribly, but he rose again gloriously. And all of that was for every one of us sitting here. It's always interesting when I do gatherings with large people, especially when you sort of get out of the context a little bit of just here, because it opens my eyes again. And where I'm going with this is the troubles that happen within families. This is an example of one of those troubles. So Jesus is sitting around with troubled people, and he's telling them a story of the lost that can be found, because one of the other stories he tells at the same time is the lost sheep and the lost coin. And the lost was found again. At some point in our lives, we can feel extremely lost. And when we kind of consider family dynamics, we can feel very lost at times. It's something I don't know why that I'm seeing this for year after year after year. The different contexts of families. whether it doesn't matter where they're from, what sort of ethnic background they are, what their economic status may or may not be. All families are complicated. It's interesting, when I was at Knox talking to the Korean, there's a large Korean community at Knox, and hearing their stories of things going on in their families. And one of the biggest problems I think that they're facing as a church, as believers, that the Korean parents that have come over to Canada a generation or two back were deeply faithful, deeply believers. The church was just an integral part of their life. But their kids sort of come, but their grandkids rarely come at all. And they feel like it's just a Korean issue. And I keep telling them, no, it's all families. As we move along down, we want to do the best we can for our families, but we often end up in a prodigal son situation. It's a reminder again, folks, a reminder of who we are before God, a reminder that we're not alone, and a reminder that our Lent journey is taking us to the cross. So this week, remind yourselves, it's time to pray, it's time to read a scripture, it's time to spend some time away from just my normal running about and focus on God. Amen. We are people.